Well, you say, oh, you're putting it over there in school terms. Well, that's one way to understand it. In other words, you're short, your faith is weak compared to the challenge that's in front of you. Well, but he says in Mark 11:22, have the faith of God. That means that we can have it, and that's the only place you can get faith. So why don't we ask him with the tiny bit of faith we have, let's ask him for more faith.
Yes.
Would that be okay?
Amen. Amen.
Father God, and the friends and listeners that we're talking to today here in this message, I ask that you would give us the faith. Now, we have enough faith to ask for more faith. So right now, I'm asking you, and I'm asking our listeners to pray right along with us, that you would increase their faith. So, Father God, step one, we're going to ask by faith, in faith, we're asking for more faith. Step number two, we're asking and receiving by faith what we just asked for. So, Lord, you're giving us adequate faith. You're giving us strong faith. In some cases, we're believing you for a gift of faith. We've got a great big miracle or a great big mountain, a great big monster in front of us. And, Lord, we need miraculous faith to take that on. So we receive that right now by faith.
Thank you, God.
We say and declare that we have it.
Yes.
Step three, Father God, we're going to stand in faith, knowing that we have the faith, knowing that you're helping our faith, knowing that you're perfecting our faith, and that we're not going to lose because we're going to stand on the Word of God until we see the manifestation, the full completed circle in what we're praying for here. Thank you, Jesus. We do not have to run away. We don't have to lose. We can stand in there and watch you grow up our faith and make it strong. So now we've prayed in faith, received in faith. Number three, we're going to stand in faith and we're going to keep our miracle. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, you know it was faith, Darren. You know that when Jesus came together, when there was a need where he was walking along the streets of Galilee and Judea, and when he came into the countrysides, that where Jesus met the need, there was faith. There was an action of faith, because it takes faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And we know at least seven instances found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and some of John, that seven instances Jesus said, Your faith, according, be it done according to your faith, as you have believed. There are so many instances, the centurion, there is the paralytic that he saw the faith of the paralytic's friends in Matthew 9. He saw the faith in Bartimaeus. He saw the faith in the woman that touched the hem of the garment. And he said, your faith has made you whole, be it done according to your faith, he said to a man whose eyes were blind. And so right here, Darren, we know that it takes the faith of the person who comes and the faith of the anointed one who prays for him together in a combination most of the time. A couple times I saw where Jesus just came upon, for instance, the funeral service, and the woman, this was her only son, she was a widow, so she had no provision at all, no source of provision or providers for her.
Her social security system had just died.
That's right.
That's right.
And she had not come to Jesus. He walked over to the coffin, and he touched the coffin and said, rise up. And it said he had compassion in this situation for this woman. So this was an instance where she didn't come to him. He was just walking along, and here was a funeral procession. And there are two or three places. But for the most part, in the New Testament, that person came to Jesus, came running with eagerness and earnestness. He knew that Jesus was the connection for their healing.
You know, he kind of laid down a principle here. He says, in one part, what do you want me to do for you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's one thing. So if they were focused and they said, well, I want you to heal me. Secondly, then he would say frequently, as you've just read, as your faith, so be it unto you. Now, some of you think that you have to have a ton of faith. If you come with a mustard seed type of faith, in other words, a tiny speck of faith,
mm-hmm.
And many times when we pray for people, I look at them and the Lord says, they have no faith. Well, now that doesn't mean that they're a dirty, dirty dog or that, you know, they're just totally unacceptable in the kingdom. Probably it's ignorance. They just haven't learned. Well, here's how you build up your faith. Many times I've asked people, well, you go home, you build up your faith, and you do that by reading the scriptures and by setting your mind to say, I believe the scripture is true. And that's very, very important, folks. I don't want to just flippantly go over that. You need to hold up your Bible in front of you and say, I believe this is the Word of God. I believe it's divinely inspired. I believe Jeremiah 1:12, that God watches over his word to perform it. Well, as you start taking that approach to the word, as they say in golf, how do you address the ball? Well, how does a golfer address the ball? And that's very important to a golfer that walk up there. Well, how you're holding your hands, how you're holding your hips, how you're holding all this stuff. Well, how do you hold the Bible? I mean, how do you hold it not only in respect, but do you really say out loud with your mouth, this is the divinely inspired word of God. He watches over it to perform it. It's alive today as it has ever been, and I believe that it works for me. See, you're setting yourself up there in a mindset of faith, and then as you speak the word, God is watching over that word in your heart, in your meditations, in your word, as you speak it out of your mouth, and then that word becomes alive, and it becomes a rhema word to you personally, mm-hmm. And that's what you need then for God to reach down there. He's got a ton of faith, obviously. He's got all the faith in the universe. Well, he has to have a faith connection. So we have faith when we pray for people. God has faith. The Word of God is filled with faith. And if that person has faith at all, then we see a miracle.
That's right.
Then there's a divine connection. It's almost like the juice flows. And I was thinking yesterday about these little plastic clips that we get when we have little ones running around the house, and we put them in the wall sockets. And we do that to keep the little one from putting a bobby pin or something in there that's going to make electrical connection and hurt them. Well, if you put plastic in there, that plastic does not conduct electricity. Mm-hmm. Unbelief does not conduct the power of faith. You've got to have faith to meet faith. And when you have faith, then God reaches down, and then what you're praying for, you're going to receive, because he said, again to you and to me and to everybody, as your faith, so be it unto you. But you got to have some faith. And Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith you cannot please God. You must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those that seek him.
That's right. There were a couple instances, Darren, where Jesus, seeing their faith, and especially with a paralytic in Matthew 9 and Mark 2:5 and Luke 5:20, it appears three times in the three Gospels. And he says, as seeing the friend's faith, he says to the paralytic, take courage, my son, your sins are forgiven. He also says this to the woman who touches the hem of his garment. He says, your faith has saved you. Now, do you believe there are instances when people come down to ask for prayer that they're not born again?
Yes, I sure do.
All right. There, here is an example of Jesus saying, your sins are forgiven first and foremost. And then from that point of being born again, then your healing is manifested in the physical. Do you believe anybody can be healed in the physical without being born again?
Yes, I do, because it has happened. But I believe that you really need to search your life. And if you're struggling to keep your healing, you need to find out if there's sin in your life. You need to repent and get rid of that. But most of the time, yes, you need to have a heart pure of sin for God to really do the work in your heart.
Do you believe then if somebody is healed and they're not born again, and then they say a sinner's prayer, but they say it without conviction, without really believing, this might be an avenue of them losing their healing?
Or they say the sinner's prayer without some teaching following.
Okay.
And I think it's really a great responsibility for us to take that person not only through a simple sinner's prayer where they confess their sins and they get saved, but they need some teaching. And many of you have lost your healing that are listening to us today, or you've lost your miracle because of ignorance, mm-hmm. not because you're a bad person.
Mm-hmm.
And in many cases, it's just that you haven't known the ways of God. You've got to know the ways of God. You've got to get in the Bible and find out how he thinks, how he operates, what makes him happy, what makes him angry, what makes him withdraw from you, what makes him come close to you, what makes him... See, we've got to give God every opportunity to heal us, number one, and number two, to keep that there. But if there's sin in your life, and I'd say right now, if you're struggling on holding on to your healing or holding on to a miracle, go to God and ask him if there's sin in your life, and you're going to say, well, let's see, did I lie? Have I stolen something? What have I done here? Have I lusted after someone? Have I committed adultery in my mind? All of those would be sins. All right, if that's true, confess that, but also go one step further and say, Lord God, do I have the sin of fear, of doubt, of unbelief in my life? And that's really there. And you've got some scripture on that, don't you?
Yes. I also want to say, though, before that, I believe if we go to God,